Waiting, connecting. There we go. Hi. Welcome to the next best thing to being there. That was actually advertising for long distance telephone calls starting in 1965 in the United States. AT&T, or like we used to call it, Ma Bell, the phone company, used that advertising to get people to make long distance phone calls. And now here we are, you know, in the era of Dick Tracy. You know, I mean, I called somebody who's on this call the other day, and she said to me, "Wait a second, I'm answering on my watch. Let me find my phone." You know, and nowadays we have Zoom, we have Skype, WhatsApp, Facebook messaging, et cetera, et cetera. We have all these other ways that we can connect with each other and see each other, which is pretty darn cool. Today, I want to talk about what's going on in the world, or how we can respond to what's going on in the world with this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. And I particularly want to talk about what we have to offer people in this time. And I'll start by saying that, you know, the idea for doing this actually came because Allison Rapp contacted me a couple of days ago and said, "Hey, we've been doing this online stuff, and maybe we want to tell other people about what we've been doing." And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good idea. You know, that sounds like a good idea. And so Allison and I met online yesterday. We had a conversation, which we recorded. We decided we'd go about 20 minutes. When we were about a half hour into it, we thought, well, this is probably a good time to stop. And then we stopped, and then we started talking, and she said, "Well, let's record this too." So we recorded a second part, and she's editing those. They're going to be on her website. I'll send you a link to those conversations. So there's some resources. She's also going to have some information up on her website. And I will send you that as well. It will take a day or two to get that to you, just because we have to get all the addresses and add them into our mailing list and send them out. So tomorrow or maybe Tuesday, you'll hear some more. And you'll also find out how to get the recording to today or yesterday's, or whichever is better, of the recordings of these Zoom meetings. I started doing things online really because of the trainings. Back in the early 90s, Elizabeth Berenger and I decided to make the recordings available for the first Strasbourg International Training, some of the graduates of whom are here today, to make the recordings available online. You know, instead of having cassettes or CDs, that to make it so that people could just access the recordings easily. And while I was doing that, I ran into what were the pretty rudimentary beginning forms of online education. I mean, I think the first training that we did the online recordings for were probably the training that I did in Manhattan in New York City in the 90s. No, I'm sorry, in the early 2000s, late 90s. I think it was late 90s. Sorry, it's that chemo brain thing. My brain isn't working exactly clipping along. So, but, you know, we put the recordings online, and then I started to think, well, how can I support trainees in between segments so that they can keep learning? And that has been an ongoing question for the last couple of decades. But I also started thinking about, how do I do things online? And the first course I did online, which was Learning Beyond the Lesson, it was a course about transfer of learning and how to help students keep what they got during a lesson or keep learning from a lesson. And that was absolute state of the art. And it was just audio. It was an audio only course. You could call in on your computer or on your telephone, and we could have a group conversation. So the technology has changed. Today we're meeting on Zoom. yesterday I realized I didn't know much about the Zoom account that I had because people asked me questions about it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later. And we'll talk about the different kinds of technology. And I'll answer some questions about that if you have it. But, you know, I'd like to talk about where we are. I mean, yesterday I had an FI scheduled. It was one of the few remaining FIs. And I called my student and we talked about it. And, you know, and I said, you know, I think it's probably better if we don't meet in person. You know, I don't know if all of you know, but I'm going through radiation and chemo for tonsil cancer most of the way through the treatment. And, you know, so that puts me both age-wise and immunologically-wise in the danger zone. You know, the person I was talking to is also, she's in her late 60s. And so I thought, you know, this is probably wise. And she said, yeah, you know, we agreed that it would be a good idea. And I said, well, but, you know, there are ways that we can continue to meet. And she said, oh, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, you know, we could do a one-on-one session online. And this is someone who's come to ATM classes. So I said, you know, we could do one-on-one session and I could give you an individual lesson. I'm also going to be teaching some ATM classes online. And you might want to participate in that. She said, well, how does that work? You know, and I said, well, you know, it'd be a small group of people. And I will talk you through the lessons. I'll be able to see you online. And, you know, one of the cool things about Zoom is that, you know, I have the possibility like of spotlighting a video. So I can make myself the spotlight or anybody else. You can actually do that on your own if you want. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, it says gallery view or speaker view, and you can toggle between those. So if you look in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, there's two icons up there. And in English, it's the one that's to the left says, well, right now I have the gallery view, so I see 25 rectangles. There's four pages, so on the right or left, there are arrows that allow you to go through all four pages and see how many people we have here, right? But if you click speaker view, you can also highlight me since I'm the speaker. You also can pick anybody's square rectangle and pin their video, so you make them the person that you see in the big screen, and then you just see four little pictures next to them. So you have options about how you use this. Anyways, the point being that, you know, while you're doing an ATM lesson, you can, as a teacher, focus in on one person just for yourself, or have the whole class watch one person. And, you know, my experience in teaching ATM online using Zoom, there's a few things. First of all, there's something special about all of us doing the same lesson at the same time in different places. You know, sometimes people say that we have a choice between doing it live or doing it online. I don't think that's quite right. We have a choice between doing it in person and doing it online. But both of these are live experiences. You know, I mean, there's a difference between doing a correspondence course or doing email or text messaging where you send a message and you wait for a response. It's asynchronous, right? But here we're at the same time. So you can watch someone doing an ATM and you can see what's happening, right? And you know, I'm a pretty down-to-earth sciencey guy, but I gotta say, there is something special about doing an ATM with other people. If those of you who've done the AY a Day group or who have participated in online ATMs, I think you know what I mean. There's something cool about doing it together. One of the advantages to using this medium is that it can be more interactive. So, I mean, since we don't get to address people individually or touch them, you know, but we do have the opportunity to have people look at each other, try things out, talk to each other. It makes for us the option, not the demand, but the option of having a more interactive class and a class where people are looking at each other as well. And just this week in the ATMs that we've been doing in the AYA Day groups, there's a few times where Moshe has said, well, look around, see how other people are doing it. And I happen to know from trainings where we've had one or more blind students in the training, everybody looks around. I mean, we all do it. We can't help it, right? I mean, so there's a way in which we can facilitate that process and make it useful. I think, you know, there's a couple of aspects of being able to offer classes online. I mean, there's our individual need to make a living during this time, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but most people I've talked to, their FI practices have dried up. It depends on where you are, right? But if you're someplace where no one's leaving the house, like our colleagues in Italy, for instance, then, you know, you don't have much choice but to offer something in a different way. And I think this may be pushing us into the future, dragging and screaming perhaps, but here's a wonderful way to continue to be able to work. And I think even more importantly, not thinking just about ourselves, it's a wonderful way to offer people support and connection in a time when we're feeling isolated from each other. And we're, you know, some people are going to feel a little, well, we say in the States, cabin crazy, you know, locked up in your domicile and not being able to go out. And after a while, I don't know, Netflix and card games and things like that, you run out of things to do. So I think that's an important thing to consider. What do you have to offer your students and the people that you're working with? You know, and I think what we have is to offer is a lot. My experience of doing ATM, you know, my personal practice, for me, part of that is ATM brings me back to my better self. You know, I remember how I feel when I feel good. And, you know, in this time when we have anxiety and however you and the people around us are dealing with that, I think a lesson is a really good thing to do in that situation. And I think it's important to think about lessons, not just in terms of, you know, learning coordination and improving our abilities, but also thinking about our resilience. Moshe's definition of health, I know that the AYA group that Kwan read this article on health, today I had to leave early, but you know, Moshe had two definitions of health. One was living your unavowed dreams. I doubt that today's situation was anybody's dream. But the other one was, you know, our ability to bounce back, our ability to recover from accident, injury, trauma, stress. You know, the method is about that. And so here we have a way of offering people that. How do we help people be able to find that place that you can come from, that feeling of being able to feel stressed and to respond to it in a healthy way, to be able to get past it, to be able to find your own internal resources. So, you know, I'm bringing you all together to think about that, because there's so many ways in which we can do that. And I want to talk about a few. And I want to talk about a few and let you know what we could be doing. So for instance, if you work with children, you know, one of you, you might think, I'm thinking about, you know, generally when I work with kids, I don't think about working with children. I think about working with the family. I think the end of the lesson is about giving somebody in the lesson, the parent or parents, a way of continuing the lesson when they go home. So why not, you know, think about giving a lesson to the child or helping the parent give a lesson to the child and work with them and you coaching them in doing that. You could start by reviewing things that you've already done. You can ask the parent to put their hands somewhere and ask them what they notice. If a child's speaking, they could talk about what they notice, right? So you can think about this, and this is not just with parents and children, but this could be a way of working with people who are living with someone else and giving them a duo lesson. You could teach an ATM class. And, you know, if you're going to teach an ATM class, don't start by teaching an ATM class. Start by doing a trial. Get one person or a few people who are friendly faces who are going to be on your side and give it a go. Choose some people who will be honest and tell you what worked for them and tell you what didn't work and do some problem solving about that. You know, and one question that people asked yesterday, you know, is how big of a class should you teach? Well, the bigger the class, the smaller the rectangles are going to be. So, you know, if you have three people in class, there's you and three other big rectangles. If you have five people, that's pretty good. Once you get beyond that, it might be a little bit hard to see people. But like I said, you can focus in on one person and see what's going on. You could stop and ask them to do it. You could stop and ask the class to look. You could do more people. One thing I do, I'm going to move my camera a little bit here, so don't get seasick. But I have a setup, so because I'm traveling, I have a setup that I can use my laptop wherever I go. But when I'm home, excuse me, you can see that I have my laptop right there, but I also have a larger screen above it that's much bigger. And when I'm teaching ATM class, I put my camera right here, which is an external camera because it's better than the one that's on my laptop. I put that on top of the other camera and I have a bigger screen and I'm able to see people more easily. Right, so that's just a little technological fix. But, you know, that's one way to go is to teach ATM classes in the situation. So those are a couple of options. You can give an individual lesson. You can give duet lessons. You can teach a small group. You can teach a large group. That really depends on you. I think it's best that when people do an ATM or when you're working with people, that they have their camera on, you know, that they put their camera in a place where you can see them. You know, for this meeting, you're welcome not to have your camera on. It's not required. And even in the ATM class, I don't force people to put their camera on because some people are more comfortable not having their camera. And, you know, people can stop and ask questions. The really cool thing about this, as some of you know, because you're using this, is that we have a chat line here. So you can chat. This is kind of neat for the teacher because it makes it possible for students who don't speak up and who don't want to be visible in speaking, they have a direct line to the teacher. It can be distracting in big classes, and I'm not following the chat all the time because I'm trying to pay attention to y'all here, and I'm also flipping between the screens so I can see different people and see what your reactions are. I mean, this is two-way communication. You know, if people are nodding their head, I get a sense that I'm on the right track. If people are scratching their head, I might ask a question. You know, in an ATM, I can see whether people are understanding the directions and how they're participating. And I think that's really valuable because otherwise you're, you know, just teaching a lesson to yourself. One other thing about Zoom, which I do like the Zoom platform. There's another platform that I just got, which I'm playing around with just because I got an invitation to something that might be cheaper. But for the Zoom platform, for $20 a month, or $14.99. Here, let's see. Here's another thing you can do with Zoom. Let's see. You could share your screen. So there you should be seeing the Zoom screen. So for this right here, the $14.99 a month, you get this is the plan that I have. You get 100 participants. You get 1 gigabyte of video files and audio files to store. You can add extra storage for $40 a month if you want, or more. But these are all options about what you can do with Zoom. And the great thing about Zoom is it's recording. Like right now, it's recording this. So if you're teaching an ATM lesson, when you're done, you will have a video, which you could use or not use, but it also does an audio recording. Now, it is not an MP3 recording. It's an, it's a M4A recording, which, you know, you can download, you can turn into an MP3 recording for free online and share that with your students. Or you can give people access to the recording directly on the Zoom cloud, and you don't have to do anything. They just log in and they can either download it or stream it from Zoom. So this gives you the possibility of giving people the recordings of the ATM, and you have almost no work to do to make that available. And I think that's a really wonderful thing because, you know, then they have the recording. You can give them homework, you know, pick a section of the lesson and practice it. Or you can have them talk to each other, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, in terms of what they do, what they did with the homework or what they did with the lesson and how they experienced it. And you can encourage people to do the lessons more than one at a time. And Brenda, you just beat me to it. Brenda just put the discount code that the FGNA, the Feldenkrais Guild of North America, has with Zoom. It's 15% off of, I think it's off of the $15 a month, US dollars a month plan. I don't know if it works in other countries. So you could give it a try if you're not in the U.S. If you're not in the U.S., you could figure out what a VPN, a virtual private network, is, and you could pretend you're in the U.S. and get it. So I do that. Oh, and Vita just said that the discount works in Canada. It is the Feldenkrais Guild of North America, so it should work in Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. I don't know if it works in other countries. But anyways, I mean, $15 a month. Can you rent a room somewhere for that and get as many classes as you like? I don't think that's very much money. So that's something to consider. I think it's great to give the recordings to the students. And I mean give it, not charge them extra. It doesn't cost you extra. And I think it's a way to be generous and to support people. You know, a good lesson is like a good piece of music. Nobody says, oh, yeah, you know, Brahms concerto, I've heard it once, poof, throw it away. You know, it's worth returning to. And so supporting our students and doing that is a really cool thing. And this technology makes it easy to do that. And you're not limited to this technology. You know, there's group calling on Skype. You can also record there. You can do calls on Facebook Messenger, on WhatsApp, you know, whatever your favorite app is. Depending on the technological specificities you want, do you want to record it? Do you want video? How many people do you want to have there? So that depends on you. Sonia says, how much do you charge people for participating? That's a great question, Sonia. I think you charge.
How much? How?
How do you charge? Oh.
How do you go about that? Because I could do it for free, but I'm not sure if at some point I wanted to, you know, do it with a group in a way that I would also be able to, you know, have my Feldenkrais practice. I don't know how to do that part.
Okay, good question. I'll answer that. So if you have this $15 a month plan, you not only have your personal Zoom room, right? Which is the one that's associated with your account. But every time you set up a meeting, which could be a one-time meeting or a recurring meeting, you get a Zoom number for that room. Just like you had to do to sign in for this course, you went to a registration page, you signed up. So the way that you make this work is in order for somebody to get that link from you, you make it so they have to pay you first. And there's a number of ways of doing that. You can use system where, like, you would use an automatic appointment system. You know, so people sign up online for appointments, and you can use those for classes as well. You can have people sign up online for classes. Or you could use, depending on what country you're in, you know, here in the U.S., you could use any of the payment channels. So PayPal, I can't remember the name of the other ones, even though I have them on my phone.
Venmo.
Yeah, Venmo. Exactly, there's Venmo. But, like, you know, if you live in Holland, where they got rid of checks a couple of decades ago and they do automatic transfers between accounts, you would just have somebody pay your account, right, via Zelle or directly to your bank account. So you'd have people pay you beforehand, and then you would give them the link so that they would register for the class. And personally, what I've done that, I suggest having a different registration for each of the individual classes. It means that people have to sign up every time, but that way you know who to expect. You know who signed up for the class and who's showing up. And in terms of keeping attendance and knowing whether anyone's going to show up, because, I mean, that's the thing, you know, having an online class is like throwing a party. Is anyone going to come? Right? And this way you know who's coming. So, you know, I that's the way that I would do it. You know, so when I do online classes, people have to sign up through my website, and then they get, and Nicole writes, and she does regular classes like that too, and then they get the links for the classes, and they have to sign up. So that's the way to do it. But let me go back and answer the question I was going to answer, which is, you know, what do you charge? I think you charge the same amount as what you would charge normally. You know, so you because, like, people are paying for your time and your expertise, you know, and that's the same whether you're present or not. It's a new thing. So you might want to give people like half off for the first class, or offer them a money back, you know, they could get their money back if they're not satisfied, you know, to deal with their resistance or reluctance. Leanne says 2-for-1. Yeah, people live together. You could offer them a 2-for-1 deal. What we have to offer is really valuable. If anything, it's more valuable at this time. I will tell you a story. In 1986, I got married to a man which was popular or cool or legal, and I moved to San Francisco, and I lived in a neighborhood where there were other Feldenkrais teachers. You would go to a cafe, and those people from Anna and Bonnie's training, they were there, and they had their flyers up, and I'm like, how am I going to compete? I mean, it was hard enough. I mean, I was like, oh my God, people already know what this is, and there's an established competition. And then I thought, well, my room isn't really that big. The office that I shared with David Moses in the Mission District in San Francisco. I said, so I had a poster, and it had a picture of a drawing of 6 people doing ATM, and above it, this is San Francisco, it said Feldenkrais for the masses. And then the picture, and then below it, it said 6 at a time. And I offered semi-private classes that were an hour and a half long, so they were a little longer than normal classes. And I charged more than people were charging for their regular ATM classes, because I told people that they got individual attention. And actually, I think a lot of my style of teaching, which I would say is more conversational and interactive, you know, which is certainly the way that Moshe taught sometimes and not all the time. But I think that that situation and this situation lends itself to that. So I would suggest, it is harder to pay attention, I think, to people here, especially if you have a large group and very small images and you don't want to be clicking through every image and making each one bigger. I would suggest, you know, doing a smaller class, making it last a little bit longer, selling it as a semi-private class, and charging more than you do for your regular ATMs. And I would suggest charging the same thing as you do in ATM, in FI for individual classes too. Because I think your value, I mean, if you've never taught an individual ATM as an FI, here's your chance to do that. Here's a great chance to get people to learn how they can take care of themselves. Right? So in that way, this is an opportunity. I'd like to show you one other Zoom feature, which is really cool, comes with this plan. And that is that you can have breakout groups, right? So it's possible to take this group where we have four pages. So don't know how many people that is exactly. Let's see. Yeah, we have close to 100 people online here. It makes it kind of hard to interact. So what you can do is you can make small groups. So when I'm going to do that in a minute. I'm going to make it so that you can join with, let's say, three other people. Let's see if I can do this. Four other people. So in a minute, you're going to get an invitation on your screen to join a group. The computer gods will decide who you're with. You can manually assign people, but that would take a long time. But here, it's going to put you together with some other people. And I'd like to give you a few moments to introduce yourself and talk to each other about why you're here. What are you interested in doing? What your experience is? And let's take 10 minutes so you have a chance to talk to each other. And then after that, I'll ask you about what you learned. And then I'll take some questions and we can have a conversation. All right. If you don't want to be in a room, you don't need to. But I have the magic power of going to visit some of these rooms. So I will pop in on a few of you to say hello. I'm going to shut the recording off, which I forgot to do yesterday, because otherwise we'll have a recording of something not interesting, because the rooms do not get recorded. All right? So have some fun.